Chapter 5. The Queen Mother's special salon was equipped with every modern convenience, from flavor-optimizing beverage dispensers to auto-massaging furniture to participatory holodrama booths. So Han did not understand why the only chronometer in the room was an ancient pendulum clock, the kind with a long, weighted arm that swung side to side and emitted a loud tock every second. By his estimate, he had heard that tock more than 25,000 times already, and each one seemed louder than the last.
"One more tock, and I'm going to smash that thing," Han growled.
"I don't think the Queen Mother would take that very well, Captain Solo," C-3PO said.
Not for the first time, Han wondered why they hadn't left him behind on the Falcon with Cockmame and Meewal.
"It's pre-Lorelian. Probably looted from a Balmoran colony ship by the very pirates who abducted Tenel Ka's ancestor."
"So it's about time Tenel Ka got another."
Han eyed the salon's rare burlwood paneling and gilded OG molding, searching for the spy cam that just had to be there.
"By the looks of this place, she ought to be able to afford something a little quieter."
"Han."
Leia, who had been sitting on the floor meditating, opened her eyes.
"That clock is worth more than the Falcon. A lot more."
"Yeah, and it's noisier, too."
Han stood, then grabbed a priceless Larmel-topped end table and started across the room. Leia jumped up to block his way.
"Han, what are you doing?"
"I can't take it anymore."
He gave Leia a quick half-wink, then started around her.
"That talking is driving me nuts!"
"So I see."
Leia caught him by the arm.
"But the crazy act won't get us an audience any sooner. We're not under surveillance."
"Of course we are. This is Hapes, remember?"
"It's Tenel Ka's Hapes."
Leia turned him around to face her.
"And she respects us too much to spy on us."
Han rolled his eyes.
"Yeah, right."
"She knows we'd notice the surveillance. So why risk insulting us when she won't learn anything? This way, she can let us know that no matter what our differences, she still considers us friends."
"Let me see if I've got this straight."
Han continued to hold the table up by his shoulder.
"She keeps us cooling our heels 7 hours to make sure we know we're still friends?"
"Exactly," Leia said. "It's the same reason flight control had us land the Falcon in the Royal Hangar. She's trying to let us know politely that she won't be able to see us."
Han's stomach sank.
"Tell me this isn't one of those diplomatic code things."
Leia gave him an apologetic smile.
"Afraid so. You know how Coruscant would react if she gave us an audience. Omis and Neothel would think she was considering the possibility of recalling her fleets, possibly even helping Corellia."
"Then how come she told Gedgen to send us?"
"To placate her nobles, I'm sure," Leia said. "She needed to buy some time to maneuver. And now we've served our purpose."
"So she used us," Han said. "I hate that."
"It wasn't personal, Han."
Leia took the end table from his hands and used the Force to float it back to its place.
"We'll just have to wait. Eventually she'll find a way to see us without the spies knowing."
"Eventually?"
Han went to the intercom panel next to the door.
"She can do better than that."
"Han, you can't keep..."
"Sure I can."
Han pressed the call button, and a moment later the peevish face of one of Tenel Ka's male social secretaries appeared on the vidscreen.
"Captain Solo," he said, obviously exasperated, "is there something I can do for you?"
"Yeah," Han said.
"You can tell Tenel Ka I'm tired of waiting."
The man's expression grew weary.
"As I've already explained, the Queen Mother is unavailable. She asked me to assure you that as soon as she can break free..."
"Break free?" Han cried. "We were supposed to have half a day with her. We've already been here twice that—
Excuse me, Captain, the secretary said. Were you under the impression that the Queen Mother was expecting you?
Of course I'm under that impression. We had an appointment.
Han was ready to crawl through the intercom and choke the man.
If you think we came all the way from Corellia just to drop in—
Are you saying we're not expected?
Leia interrupted, coming to stand next to Han.
Indeed I am, the secretary replied. The Queen Mother cancelled the conference when Prime Minister Gedgen insisted it had to be held on the same day as the Queen's pageant.
Han scowled.
The Queen's pageant?
To pick the most handsome man in the consortium,
C-3PO explained.
After the Queen Mother's birthday and the Marauder's masquerade, it's the largest ball of the year.
Precisely, the secretary nodded. Of course the Queen Mother is unavailable today.
You don't say. Han was starting to have a bad feeling about their assignment. And it's always on the 20th?
On the last day of the third week,
C-3PO corrected.
The tradition is more than 4,000 years old. It seems that the first Queen Mother, through the original pageant, is a parody on the slave auctions once held—
Enough, 3PO, Han said. We don't need the history of the whole cluster.
Your droid is correct about the ancient history of the tradition, the secretary said from the intercom. I explained all this to Prime Minister Gedgen myself.
To Gedgen personally? Leia asked. Not to his assistants?
There's no use acting surprised, the secretary sniffed. He understood me very well.
A cloud came over Leia's face.
I'm sure he did. Please accept our apologies. The mistake is clearly ours.
Obviously, the secretary replied.
Please be patient. The Queen Mother will see you at her convenience.
The vid display went blank.
How rude, C-3PO said. He didn't even wish us a good evening.
He wouldn't have meant it.
Han deactivated their end of the intercom and turned to Leia.
Do you get the feeling this is a setup?
Absolutely, Leia said. But I don't understand what Gedgen expects to gain by embarrassing us. There's no logic to it that I can see, C-3PO said. Captain Solo can be quite embarrassing enough on his own.
Han was too busy trying to figure Gedgen's angle to retort. Gedgen had to know that sending them to negotiate on a celebration day would only irritate Tenel Ka and make her even more unlikely to cooperate with Corellia. And that could only mean that Gedgen did not care whether he irritated Tenel Ka. Han began to feel worried. With the Bothans and Huts both refusing open alliance, Corellia was growing more desperate by the day, and desperate governments took dangerous gambles. Maybe Gedgen did not care about irritating Tenel Ka because he expected to be dealing with someone else in the near future. In the very near future. Han turned to Leia.
What if it's not us Gedgen is setting up?
Leia's eyes grew narrow.
You think he's using us to draw Tenel Ka out?
Or positioning us to take the blame, Han said. If Tenel Ka gets killed, whoever's getting ready to take her place will want to point the finger at someone pretty criffing quick. Otherwise, an investigation might uncover them.
Leia thought for a moment, then shook her head.
Possible, but Tenel Ka is bound to have a first-class security team, and as a former Jedi Knight, she's formidable in her own right. Whoever's behind this, they're smart enough to realize they'll need a professional, and a good one.
Sure, but I don't see where we fit in, Han said.
I don't either. Yet.
Leia thought for a moment, then asked,
Why was it important for us to arrive on the day of the Queen's pageant? Oh!
C-3PO raised his hand.
I think I know.
Han turned to the droid.
So spit it out.
C-3PO's photoreceptors flickered.
Droids are unable to salivate, Captain Solo, but the palace will be filled with handsome young men today, most of them unknown to the staff. It would be the ideal time to slip an assassin onto the premises.
Which means security will be even tighter than normal, Han pointed out.
Which is why we're important, Leia said. Gedjan knows Tenel Ka will find time to see us, and that will interrupt the security routine.
So we're bait, Han grumbled. That really burns my jets.
Han turned to the intercom and started to reach for the call button, but Leia caught his arm with the force.
Han, we can't, she said.
Han frowned in confusion. Sure we can, he said. I love Corellia, but Tenel Ka is practically a daughter. If you think I'm going to let Gedjan assassinate...
Han, that's not what I think, Leia said. But if their plan depends on a change in routine, they must have someone close to Tenel Ka to alert them to that change.
Right. Han dropped his hand and tried to hide how foolish he felt for not realizing the same thing. I knew that.
Of course you did.
Leia smiled and gave his arm a reassuring pat.
And you also know that their informant would just intercept your warning and let the assassins know that we're onto them.
Oh, yeah, Han said. I knew that, too.
Leia nodded.
I thought so.
She took a deep breath and closed her eyes, obviously preparing to reach out to Tenel Ka in the Force. It was Han's turn to grab Leia's arm.
Can't do that either, sweetheart.
Leia opened her eyes again.
We can't.
What about their backup plan? Han said. You know they have one. And the minute their informant sees Tenel Ka acting weird, they'll activate it.
Leia sighed.
And we'd blow any chance Tenel Ka has of trapping them.
Right, Han said.
So what are we going to do?
Han stepped closer and opened Leia's robe. Leia raised her brow.
Han, I don't think we have time right now.
Han gave her a roguish grin.
Don't worry. This won't take long.
He opened one of the pouches on her utility belt and removed an automated lock slicer.
And then we can go find Tenel Ka. That should throw a Hydra spanner into their plans.
Han went to the hand-carved double doors through which the social secretary had disappeared after dumping them in the salon, then knelt on the floor and slipped the unit's input-output card into the crack between the doors. C-3PO clunked over to stand behind him.
Captain Solo, may I ask what you're doing?
No.
The lock slicer emitted a short beep, announcing that it had made contact with the security system. Before Han could activate it, Leia reached over his shoulder and covered the instrument panel.
Han, we need to be...
We can't afford to wait around, Han said. Tenel Ka's a good kid. She isn't going to keep us sitting...
I was going to say quiet,
Leia interrupted.
There are two sentries on the other side of these doors.
Oh, dear,
C-3PO said.
It looks as though Captain Solo is going to embarrass us again.
It's okay, 3PO.
Leia pulled Han away from the door and took the lock slicer from his hands.
In fact, we need you to return to the Falcon.
C-3PO cocked his head.
Return to the Falcon? Whatever for?
Just do it, Chiphead, Han said.
An indignant harumph sounded from the droid's vocabulator, but he turned and left through the other door, which opened into the royal hangar. Leia returned the slicer to her utility belt and began knocking loudly. It took several moments before an electronic buzz sounded and one of the doors opened part way.
I'm sorry, Princess Leia, a Hapen voice said, but the Royal Guard isn't allowed to converse with guests. If you require assistance...
Actually, I don't.
Leia used the Force to jerk the sentry through the door, at the same time sticking a leg out to catch him across the ankles. He landed at Han's feet in a huge purple-cloaked heap, reeking of musky Hapen cologne.
Han leapt onto the sentry's back and smashed the man's helmet into the stone floor to disorient him. The Hapen was extremely large for a human, nearly the size of a Barabel, and just about as tough. Despite repeated hammering, the fellow managed to rise to his hands and knees. Realizing he was in trouble, Han hooked his legs around the sentry's waist and planted his feet on the man's knees, then pushed. The fellow dropped to his belly again. Han got in a quick face slam that actually stunned the Hapen long enough to pull off his helmet. The sentry started to rise again, one hand reaching back to grab Han's leg. Han delivered a powerful hammer fist to the base of the jaw. The big Hapen went limp for a second. Then his fingers dug into Han's thigh so hard that Han had to cry out. He struck with the hammer fist again, and the sentry finally dropped to the floor in an unmoving heap. By this time, Leia was hauling the other guard, also unconscious, into the room. Though the fellow was just as large as the one Han had handled, his hands and feet were already bound, and Leia was using only one hand to drag him. Han would have liked to believe she was using the Force, but he knew better. After 4 years of Saba-style Jedi training, she was just that strong.
"Everything okay?" Leia asked. "Do you need help?"
"I'm fine," Han panted. "How about a little warning next time?"
"Why?" Leia pursed her lips in mock disapproval. "You getting old or something?"
"No."
Han tore a strip off the sentry's cloak and began to tie the man's wrists.
"Just not used to following your lead, that's all."
Leia smiled.
"How can you say that, dear?"
She dumped her sentry on the floor next to his, then bent down, took the man's security card, and kissed Han's cheek.
"Breaking into Tenel Ka's palace was your idea."